The next paper I'd turn in, I'd receive it back and she'd have a comment on it. Wayne, I know that you're young in the Lord, but you're growing so quickly. Thank you for just blessing our lives. And I think, you know, I'm sure she was lying, but I thought, man, this is so good. It's like water. I started looking forward to all of the papers being returned to me. After a while, I couldn't give a rip about the grade. I just wanted to see what she was about to say. I took every class that she taught. She could have taught home economics. I was going to take it.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message from Pastor Wayne's Home Remedy series, a message entitled Chapped Lips, a Remedy for Dryness. Pastor Wayne will show you how you can give value to others through the words that you say. Here he is with a message entitled A Remedy for Dryness.
I remember my mom with great affection and how she used to care for me. She passed away when I was a sophomore in high school, but I remember just the words that she would give to me when I was young, how she would believe in me. She was a single mom and quite a while, and she worked at the Flamingo restaurant. And so she would come home and her pockets would be filled with change tips. And that's how we would buy our groceries, etc. And we lived in a little two-bedroom house in Palolo. And I remember one week I got very sick and I stayed home. I was about 6 years old, stayed home from the first grade. And my mom stayed home from work just to be with me, which means she gave up a week's worth of wages and tips just to be with me. And I had dehydrated and I just remember her with me every day. Then finally, when I was able to get out again, she took me to Ala Moana Beach Park because that's where us kids like to go and watch the little boat races in that little pond in the middle, and these little model boats and powered boats. And I remember she sitting there and looking at me, and I was still pale from the sickness. And I so remember this one memory where she looked at me and she said, "Honey, your lips are chapped." And so she said, "Come here, come here." And I got close to her and she gave me this big old kiss on my lips. And when she pulled away, she took her lipstick that was left on my lips and rubbed them in. She says, "That'll help you heal." And it did work really good. People looked at me funny the rest of the day. It was bright red lipstick. Maybe that's the reason why at an early age I was kind of inclined towards Barbie dolls rather than trucks. I'm not sure, but... But, you know, I think about that and I kind of laugh, but I thought, you know, her affection for me was that which expressed itself in some kind of healing, some kind of just being overseeing me, watching me, and bringing out the best in me. And I was thinking the Bible says that about our lips, too, the way we use our words, the way that we share affection. It says this, and let's read at the top of our notes together what the scripture talks about as we talk about God's remedy for dryness in life. Here it is. Ready? Let's read the first one. Go. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. The second one, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. We want to talk about how to be a people of the blessing. How to be people who would use our words to build others up. People who not only use words to build us up, but ears to listen to our woes and our sorrows. And that causes blessing to take place where we can blossom. We see that in the Bible about the kissing or about the using of lips to show affection. Not in the Hollywoodish way that's a seductive kind of ploy that sells films. No, in the Bible, that word to kiss was not only a physical act, but it was also a verbal act of a spoken word where your lips are close to the person's ear and you would speak a blessing to them. All through the Old Testament, when Jacob would bless his sons or Isaac would bless his, there would be a kiss and then a spoken word and maybe an embrace so that there would be something imparted into the very soul of that person. You see, we live in a world and a society that's drained of that. Friday's newspaper in the Star Bulletin had Father Damien's picture in the middle of the front page and how he was being honored for his blessing the residents of Kalaupapa his whole life and helping them with their Hansen's disease of leprosy. But juxtaposed on one side was the alarming rise of suicides in Hawaii. Health officials say not enough is being done. We live in a society where that's taking place. It's so incongruent. In fact, it said last year in Hawaii, homicides, murders, 30. Traffic fatalities, 65. Suicides, 110. And for every suicide that ends in a fatality, 15 more were attempted. Cost the state between $10 and $50 million. And so it was saying not enough is being done. I thought, you know, it's because we are a dry nation where people are selfish rather than selfless. And it was just juxtaposed where it even says honoring a selfless man, Father Damien. I thought, oh God, help us as a church to understand what it means to be an Isaac or a Jacob that blesses and imparts to the souls of those around them a blessing so that it would water a dry soul. It happened in the prodigal son's father's life. Remember when the prodigal son left his father in anger, wanted all of his own inheritance, so he took his inheritance and squandered it. It was when he was at the lowest of the low, in the pig's pen, that he starts to remember, and he says this. He says, I know what I've got to do. I've got to get up and go to my father. And I'm going to say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy, or I am worthless. I've lost my worth. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And sure enough, he got up and came to his father. Now let's read verse 20 together in your notes, the third one down. Ready? Go. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, ran and embraced him and kissed him. Underline those words, embraced and kissed. That's two elements or ingredients of what it means to be someone who is a blesser, through which God can run blessings through. Because you see, if I can't learn to bless people with my words, how can God use me as a conduit through which he will run other blessings, financial blessings or influential blessing? I begin to stop that up, even to my own children. We have in our homes today dried up families because the water hasn't been flowing. We've shut off the faucet. And God is saying, it's time to open up the faucets. This father, when his son was coming, he embraced him and kissed him. If you read further, it says he put a ring on his finger and the best robe on his back. What that meant, when he put a ring on his finger, it said to him, you have been restored, and all the inheritance that you squandered, you still have. You still are my son. You still have my name. Can you see the worth and the value that was returned and restored to him? And with the kiss, it was something of affection. It was then that his life began to turn around. Now, I believe that there are a lot of prodigals coming home, not just to our own families, but to the family of God. And God is looking for men and women who will be like that prodigal son's father, who understand what it means to be a blesser, so that there can be the reentry of people's hearts that have strayed like many of ours. But in order for them, the prodigals, to return home, God is saying it's time for us to understand what it means to use our lips and our hearts to be a blesser, to put out that red carpet so that many can find their way back home. In fact, five times in the New Testament, it uses the word kiss, but in a holy way, which means a kiss means to show affection, to reestablish value again. And we need to do that right here in our church, to be able to be people who are reestablishing value, reestablishing relationship. In fact, let's read that final scripture together in the introduction part. Ready? Go. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And look at the amount of times that it says that again and again and again. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to be that kind of people here in New Hope Christian Fellowship. You know, in Jewish families, they do it so well. In a family book or a Jewish family life book written in 1602, it talks about blessing one another. In fact, those who were blessors, that were actually the duty of parents, it was so incredibly important that to receive a blessing was a coveted prize, that kids would stand in line just to have someone speak a blessing into their lives. Because we live in a society where children and people and us starving for affection and value. Because as we grow up, value is stolen from us by words and mistakes and kids' comments and cuts. And we're looking for what would be people who would be blessers. And it's so incredibly important. If we shut those faucets off, the land dries up. And that's why we steal credit. That's why pride comes up. That's why we have to be seen and known. We got to be someone that getting someone's attention, because we're starving for the blessing. Well, in the Old Testament, the children would line up for it, and it was freely given. I'm going to read to you from this book written in 1602. Listen to what it says, and I quote, "Before the child can walk, they should be carried on the Sabbath day and holy days to their father and mother to receive a blessing. And after they're able to walk, they should go to their father and mother on their own accord with heads bowed to receive their blessing." It's so coveted, so important, that it was something that they looked forward to. We want to learn from the scriptures how, in fact, it's a duty of us all to be people of the blessing, not to receive, but to give. That's what it really means to be a people of the blessing. It starts with us giving, because as the scripture says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you look at the blessing that was given to Abram, the Lord says, "I will bless you in order that all of the world will be blessed through you." The reason God does that for us is so that we can give it away. So we will be a conduit, not a black hole, a channel through which, not a cul-de-sac of His blessings to flow. And so how do we do that? I want to give you three simple principles to help us to be people of the blessing. And again, not people receiving it, but people through which blessings flow. The first is this: to be a people of the blessing, number one, it must include a spoken word. Would you write that in? A spoken word. It has to be spoken, because words shape futures, or it can twist them. It can heal pasts. We've grown up with such sayings as, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But words do harm you. And words do hurt. How many of you have felt the pain of an inappropriate word aimed at you? Yeah, we all have. Are words really so powerful? Solomon thought so. Let's read the scripture under number one. Ready? Go. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Did you catch that? It can bring death, or it can bring what?
Life,
yeah. In many homes, those words of acceptance are seldom heard. But they've got to be spoken. If you want to be a people of the blessing, it's got to be spoken. One of the most tragic misconceptions that parents in these kinds of homes where words of encouragement are seldom heard, one of the tragic misconceptions parents in these homes often make is simply thinking that simply being there, or thinking that simply being present, is enough to communicate their love. But nothing could be further from the truth. Well, I'm home. Well, I'm there for dinner. But you see, to be a people of the blessing, it has to include the spoken word. Because to a child in search of acceptance who has a dry soil, a dry soul, to force them to fill in the blanks of silence, they will always fill it in with the wrong words. "I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. I can't make it. I can't do it." They'll fill in the wrong words in those silent blanks. We've got to speak those words and fill in the blanks for them so they catch it and catch the flow. And that's what God has designed to be in our families, people of the blessing, because that's what waters the soil so that these children can grow. Moms do it the best. And it's time for us to learn from them. You say, well, how do you do that? Because I can't, you know, just sit around and just kind of give this nice, big, articulate treatise of telling people, you know, how good they are, this or that, or giving them a plan for their future. I can't do all of that. Well, the Bible says you don't have to be an orator. In fact, it says this. Let's read it. The next one. Ready? Go. "Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, But a good word makes it glad. You don't need a huge phrase or paragraph, just a good what? Would you circle that word, word? Just a good word. Proverbs 3:27 says it this way. It's not in your notes, but it says, don't withhold good from those to whom it's due when it is in your power to do it. When you see someone do something well or just someone that you just feel the Lord saying, give them a spoken word. What it might be is that someone here in the church, someone there at your workplace, someone at home, just has a dry soul and is looking for a spoken word to give water. That's it. And the Lord will speak that to you. Will you be a person of the blessing? We've shut those faucets off too much. And so there's dryness and chapped lips because we haven't been using our lips to be a people of the blessing. Well, you say, well, Wayne, what do these words have to say? Real simply, would you put in your first bullet there? It should assign value to the person. Just somehow assign value. I think one of my favorite scriptures is found in Isaiah 49. And I'll read the first part, and then you can read the second with me. It's written in your notes. But let me give you the verse before it, verse 15 of Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her child? Can she have no compassion on her own son? Even though these may forget, I will never forget you, saith the Lord. Let's read what he says. Ready? Go. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. It's like God says, Wayne, your picture is in my palms. Your face is on my hands. It's almost like the Lord says, after I paid for the sins of the world, and when he looks at his hands, he sees us and the love that he has for us. You see how God attributes value to us. And when words attribute value, not just for performance now, because sometimes someone will do a good thing and you'll say, great job, but sometimes it's important just to assign value to a person for just who he or she is. Often our words are the opposite. I was just kind of thinking back on the past few months of words that I've heard in the malls and just walking around. Listen to some of these phrases that I've heard and see how it could destroy or distort the future of someone. Here's one of them. It says this. Father said to his son, you might as well dump geometry. That's only for smart kids. Someone else said, this is a mother to her daughter. You'll be sorry when I'm in my coffin because you will have been the one that put me there. And I thought, oh, that's really a good way to start the day. Another one said, you better find someone who can take care of you because you sure ain't going to be able to take care of yourself. But I've also heard words like this right here in our Sunday school. A mom said to her little girl, you are such a good helper. I have seen you take initiative to help when others overlooked it. I heard another mom out here say, you remind me of Jesus, she said to someone passing by that she knew. Another mom out front here said some months ago, you know, God has given you such a sensitive spirit, she said to someone. You're going to end up helping hundreds and hundreds of people one day. Isn't that great? Words that assign value. I remember someone that was such a blessor in my life. Her name was Grace Flint. Dr. Grace Flint was a teacher in our Bible college. The first class I took was church history. Now, I was 3 months old when I went to Bible college, so I knew nothing about church history. But she would, after we'd turn in a paper, she would put a grade on the top of it, but she would also write a few sentences. Sentences that I came to look forward to over the years. She would write, Wayne, the comments you had yesterday in class contain such insight about God's Word. I want to encourage you to keep seeing God's Word in the way that you do, because God's given you a keen insight towards it. Thank you for being a part of my class. And boy, I looked at that and it was like water to my soul. Because I always wondered, am I good enough even to be in this Bible college? The next paper I'd turn in, I'd receive it back and she'd have a comment on it. Wayne, I know that you're young in the Lord, but you're growing so quickly. You are amazing. Thank you for just blessing our lives. And I think, you know, I'm sure she was lying, but I thought, man, this is so good. It's like water. I started looking forward to all of the papers being returned to me. After a while, I couldn't give a rip about the grade. I just wanted to see what she was about to say. I took every class that she taught. I didn't care what she could have taught home economics. I was going to take it because it was like water to my soul. And I kept all of her papers that she returned to me because she attributed value to me. And it helped me to see my life in the way maybe God saw my life. Because our eyes, seeing ourselves, is skewed. When it comes back from the mirror, it's often like those funny mirrors that are warped, you know, and we see ourselves inaccurately. And we need someone to help us through their words and through the words of their lips to attribute God's value to us. It's like water to a parched soul. Not only that, our words should, number two, would you write in that second little one, picture a bright future. Picture a bright future. Would you write that in there? Jeremiah 29:11, I just wrote the scripture address for you because it's just one that's a life scripture to us. I just want to quote it for you and it goes like this. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare in order that you might have a future and a hope. That has become my life verse because growing up, I never thought I'd amount to anything and I never was worthy and my life just was nothing. And when I read that verse, God says, no, that's my plans for you and I'm going to picture for you a bright future. And it changed my life. It changed the way I thought. And words can do that. They can also twist a person's future. They called him Mean Mike because when he was 2 years old, his dad was trying to take away a toy from little Mikey. And he had such a mean grip, they started to call him Mean Grip Mike. Well, as he grew up, they dropped the grip part and just called him Mean Mike. In grade school, he started to live up to his name. Because if everybody called you Mean Mike, you might as well be mean. And with his fists, he worked his way through high school. Never could hold down a job. And he used his fists and his words to control people. You can visit him today. He is finishing off a life sentence at Arizona State Penitentiary. Words can misshape people's future. Or words can write a person's future too. Jewish moms are the best at that, aren't they? Story of a Jewish mom with a dual stroller, a child a year and a half old and one about 3 months old. She was walking her children down the street and her name was Seidel. She came across around the corner and her friend said, oh, Seidel, you have two most beautiful children. And the Jewish mom, Seidel, said, well, thank you. She said, tell me, Seidel, what are the names of these two boys that you have here? Seidel just beamed with pride. She said, oh, this one here is Benjamin the doctor, and this is Reuben the surgeon. Jewish moms are the best because they picture a bright future for their children.
I come to glorify you, identify with you, speak your name as my own.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Chapped Lips, a Remedy for Dryness by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll hear the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. This message was from a series Pastor Wayne did called Home Remedies. Now, you may want to order the entire series of tapes. Let me read just a few of the other titles from this Home Remedies series. Neck Pain, Loving the Unlovable, Ulcers, Winning Over Worry, Cuts and Bruises, Ways to Soothe Disputes. You can order this series on the web at www.enewhope.org. Just click on the Resources tab. www.enewhope.org. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us the incredible power there is in the human touch. I hope you'll join us. Until then, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your. Crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify.